Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
When I read about what's in our nation's food supply, Andrea, I tell you what, there is smoke coming out of my ears. I am not a happy camper. I know you know a lot about this, Andrea.
I do, but I'm very excited about our guest today because she is an expert on all things allergies and GMOs. And please welcome her to the show.
Oh, I will. I'm so glad to have Robin. Hey, we got Robin O'Brien. She is an author, public speaker, strategist, mother of four. We're going to be talking about her book, The Unhealthy Truth. Her first book, I should say. And Robin, I understand you've been called Food's Erin Brockovich by the New York Times. Pretty cool.
Yeah, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. But, you know, when you start into a project and all of a sudden it's like a thread, you just keep pulling it and you keep pulling it. And, you know, Erin, one of her favorite things to highlight is tenacity. And I think that's what we're seeing across the country and really around the world right now is just this tenacity when it comes to restoring the health of our families.
So, Robin, tell us a little bit about how you got started and why, you know, how you became interested in this topic.
Well, you know, I mean, I really wasn't looking for it. I had been an analyst that covered the food industry and had just always looked at the food industry as business models. You know, how do we minimize cost of production to maximize revenue, maximize, you know, profitability? And I just figured if everything was on grocery store shelves, it was safe. And, you know, surely there had been a lot of independent science and testing done. And I really didn't think about it. And then we had these four kids pretty fast, and everything was just kind of rolling along fine. And I was one of those moms that I didn't want anybody telling me what to eat or what to feed my kids. And then our youngest child had an allergic reaction one morning over breakfast, and all of a sudden everything stopped. And I was forced to read labels, really for the first time because of her allergic reaction. And as I started reading these labels, I mean, I don't know when the last time you guys, but you read the side of those boxes and you're like, what is this stuff? And I had no idea. And I didn't, I mean, literally it was like a whole nother language. And you're thinking, okay, if your child's allergic to milk or if they're allergic to eggs, I mean, all these code names for all those allergens. So suddenly there I was investigating what these ingredients meant, where they were coming from. And that really was what started this journey, which was, you know, what in the world have we put into our food? And are these children allergic to food, or are they allergic to what's been done to it?
That is so brilliant. I love what you just said. Now, Robin, what were the most startling things you found about our nation's food supply?
You know, I think probably the one that was the hardest for me to digest was the double standard that our American companies like Kraft and Coca-Cola and Pepsi, all these members of the Grocery Manufacturers Association, they formulate their products differently for eaters in other countries. So overseas, they don't use artificial dyes in children's products. They don't use artificial growth hormones at all. They label genetically engineered ingredients. And yet here in the U.S., they pump all these things into our food supply because they're cheap, and it helps them lower their cost of production. And so they don't label them. They use these cheaper ingredients, and they sort of dismiss the risk. And, you know, the problem is that we don't have a lot of independent testing. And so a lot of these products have been allowed onto the market, and they have never been proven safe. And one of the most startling ones to me was the introduction of genetically engineered foods in the late 1990s. And countries around the world, you know, 64 countries around the world, all of Europe, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, even places like Russia, China, and India, which, you know, I was thinking, like, here we are, the U.S., we're the most forward-thinking, we're the most cautious on these types of things. All of a sudden, I realized we weren't. We were absolutely great when it came to driving profitability and using the food industry and capitalism to really drive shareholder profits. But what that left open was this vulnerability of what do these products do and what do these ingredients do over the long term? What do they do in combination? What do they do to a pregnant mom? And those are answers we don't have. And as I really looked at the way the world was exercising precaution and using this precautionary principle, especially when it came to kids, and the fact that we weren't doing that here in the U.S., to me, it was so incredibly hard to accept that as a mother, especially in light of the escalating rates of diseases we're seeing today in the U.S. children. I mean, these kids have earned the title of Generation Rx because of the record amount of medications that they're on, you know, whether it's for diabetes or ADHD or allergies or any of these conditions that we're now seeing. You know, cancer is now the leading cause of death by disease in children under the age of 15 here in the U.S. And, you know, when you read all of that, you know, it is numbing as a parent. But then at the same time, I thought, you know, this is the first generation of kids that is expected to have a shorter lifespan than their parents. And when I really sat with that, I thought, okay, the key word in there is expected. And that's when I realized that we could all come together and say, this isn't going to happen on our watch. This is not going to happen on our watch.
You know, I have so many questions for you, Robin. My mind is spinning. I'm like, I want to ask this, I want to ask that. But I'm going to start with just the basics. Can you explain to our listeners, perhaps some of them aren't that familiar with GMOs, what exactly a GMO is and what are some of the studies that have been done to show that they're harmful for us?
You know, a genetically engineered ingredient, there basically are two different kinds. And it was introduced by the chemical industry, and it helped them sell more chemicals, which was, you know, a great business model if you're in the chemical industry. And so they engineered the soy plant so that it could be routinely saturated with a weed killer. And then they engineered the corn plant so that the corn plant actually could produce its own insecticide within the cells of the plant. And that corn now is regulated by the EPA as a pesticide. So those are the two primary types right now that are on the market. There's a ton of promise that, you know, the industry loves promising that it's all going to provide all these new technologies and do all of these amazing things. But right now, those are the two we got. So one allows for more pesticide. The other turns corn into a pesticide. And with that introduction in the 1990s, the industry was the only one that really had access to the proprietary nature of that product. And it was protected by patents with this intellectual property right. So the industry conducted all of the safety tests. So, you know, like the tobacco industry, I mean, it was, you had your own industry basically telling everybody it's safe. The FDA never conducted those independent tests. There was no pre-market safety testing required. And so basically these ingredients were just flooded into the American food supply based on the studies conducted by industry without any labels.
That's, you know, it's just unbelievable to me. And, you know, what would you say, Robin, to those who say or who argue that GMOs are safe and that, you know, they help third world countries and that they're here to make, you know, make our world better? What would you say to those people?
I would say just look at who's funding the science, because what we're seeing right now is sort of this he said, she said scientific debate. And industry funds science and they say it's going to feed the world. They say it helps farmers. Well, independent science. And a lot of farmers are now starting to say, hey, you know what? This technology and this product that you guys introduced with all these promises that it was going to reduce the use of chemicals, it was going to increase all of these things, it's actually not working. And so, you know, separate from the health concerns that parents might have or environmental concerns people might have, the farmers themselves are starting to say, this product just simply is not working as you guys marketed it and as you promised.
Yeah, see that, that's, I'm so glad to hear that they're coming out against it as well. And I think the more that they can come out, the more people are going to listen. Are you finding people pretty responsive or do you get a lot of people arguing with you?
You know, again, anytime that somebody pushes back, I ask for full disclosure. You know, have you been listed as an inventor on a patent? Do you receive any type of financial support from these companies? Does your university, you know, there are some professors and PhDs, but the university programs tend to be funded by, you know, Monsanto or some of these chemical companies. So, again, it's like let's disclose up front the conflicts of interest. And then once you do, you know, then it's really, you know, people can decide for themselves. And I think the interest is being generated because, unfortunately, we are growing increasingly sick, and it's forcing people to pay attention, to read labels. And as we do wake up to what has happened to our food supply, we want it back. You know, we want to get these things out. We want to clean it back up and restore it to these real ingredients that we know, you know, have been in food for thousands of years, not necessarily risk the exposure of these synthetic, chemically intensive ingredients that have just been introduced.
Absolutely. Robin, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but we'd love to have you back. And thank you so much for being on our show today.
Oh, thanks so much.
Until next time, stay connected at Radio MD and NaturallySavvy.com, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic.